It's interesting that the Spanish gospel actually gives you the one line to remind you that we're at the end of the Bread of Life discourse. So the past 4 or 5 weeks we've been reading from John chapter 6. And actually our first reading and the gospel present us pivotal moments in the history of salvation. We get, choose this day whom you will follow. Will you also go away? In both cases, the people are being challenged to walk by faith, to put their trust in God, regardless of how difficult things might become. And the church lays these two pivotal challenges at our feet today. Choose today whom you will follow. Will you also go away? Implied in that call to choose is the truth that there is a right way and a wrong way. You know, God went to great lengths to show the Hebrew people that there was a right way. Consider all he did for them to free them from slavery in Egypt, and how he sustained nearly 2 million people in the desert for 40 years. How he revealed his heart to them in giving them the law. In the same way, God's gone to great pains to show us the right way. Consider that all that Jesus, the Son of God, has done for us, all that he taught us, endured for us, suffered for us. For us to act and live as though it doesn't matter is risky, especially because God has told us and showed us that it does matter. 3 verses after our first reading, the story says, "If after the good he has done for you, you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, evil will come upon you and destroy you." There is a right way that leads to heaven. Heaven is for those who choose today to follow the Lord. There's also the wrong way. You know, people don't want to talk about hell, like somehow we're not supposed to talk about it. Nobody talked about hell more than Jesus. Because hell is for those who, despite all of the evidence of God's existence, choose to go away or choose to stay away. Because hell is nothing but separation from God, which they freely chose. See, God gives us the freedom to choose, but we're not free from the consequences of the choices we make. The pivotal moment in the gospel is really quite remarkable. The crowd has been with Jesus. They've seen all kinds of miracles. They've seen healings. They were there for the multiplication of the loaves. Jesus has been teaching them at length, but something must be missing for them to walk away. After all of that, what could possibly be missing? But maybe the more important question is that something missing in us? Those pivotal moments, those moments of decision are important in our lives, but the more important truth is that success in anything worthwhile is seldom just a one-time decision. Yes, the decision sets the tone, but it's only words if it's not followed day after day by our actions. The response of the Hebrew people was great. Far be it from us to forsake the Lord. We will also serve the Lord. Wonderful. But those of you who know your Old Testament will know that the history of Israel after that day was frequently that they turned away from the Lord and served themselves. In a similar way, the divine life is offered to us in grand moments. We call them the sacraments. And then we must live and cultivate those graces every day of our lives. Baptism, a huge day in the life of a family. But what happens to that divine life if the parents and godparents don't fulfill the commitment to be the first teachers of the faith? Our wedding days, major events. But what happens if sacrificial love is not woven into the everyday fabric of that relationship between the husband and wife? Today, this Mass is another big event where we are united spiritually and physically to the Son of God. That's why it concludes with a reminder before we leave, go in peace, glorifying the Lord by your lives. The Mass sets the tone for our lives for the upcoming week. But its impact will be greatly diminished in our lives if it's not followed day by day with actions. So choose today who you will follow. Thankfully, our readings offer us two little gems that can help us stay on that path every day. The first gem is the key to understanding our second reading, and it's given to us in that first line. Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ. Jesus taught us the same thing at the Last Supper when he, the Master, took a towel and a bowl and washed the feet of his disciples. Being subordinate to one another is a way of saying, serve one another in imitation of Christ. Our second reading is all about each spouse laying down their life for the sake of the other, because that's how God loves. And if we can sow that into our lives every day, we will have something remarkable. And just in case we men missed it, you know, St. Paul then goes on and explains it more clearly. He says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and handed himself over to sanctify her. Guys, this is a major challenge for us and an antidote against the influence of our culture, because we live in a culture where the goal is to have your own man cave where you can go and get away from it all. And St. Paul's saying, no, there's a better way. Do you love your wife? Prove it to her by laying down your life for her every day. Do you love your family, your neighbor, your co-workers, your fellow parishioner? Prove it by doing what is good for them every day, regardless of whether there's anything in it for you. Thankfully, this parish has so many opportunities for men and women of all ages to grow in our ability to walk with God every day. We've got the Knights of Columbus, the Catholic Women's Association, Youth Ministry, our Legion of Mary, Curcio, our St. Vincent de Paul Society. How many Bible studies do we have going on in this parish? It's quite remarkable. And then we add on to that perpetual adoration, daily mass, and I can go on and on and on. But men, I particularly want to challenge you to find it in your schedule to participate this fall in the That Man Is You program, because that program is specifically designed to aid, educate, and strengthen husbands and fathers. We're entering the third year of that program, and it's just been fantastic. And so that first gem, be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ, requires a courageous act of our will. The second gem from our gospel calls for a courageous act of trust. It's the courage to stand with Peter in following Jesus, even when we can't get our minds around God's plan. Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. There are going to be times when you are tempted to follow some way other than God's way. There will be times when you are tempted to go away with the crowd. But those ways do not lead to eternal life. Peter has what the crowd is missing, because he is choosing to walk with Jesus day by day. This is what I said at the beginning. Peter, he's seen the healings. He saw the multiplication of the loaves just like everybody else. And he is just as troubled by what Jesus has been teaching for the past 4 weeks. But because he stays close to Jesus each day, even though he might not understand the fullness of his plan, he recognizes that Jesus has the words of eternal life. Is this something we are doing? Or like the crowd, is this something we lack? The words of men and the plans of men, they're going to pass away into nothingness. All of those things that occupy our minds more than 95% of the time will turn to dust and be forgotten. God's word endures forever. Keep those words of Peter close at hand when you're tempted to go away. Strive to walk with the Lord day by day. You will be amazed at the peace and the sense of purpose that comes to your life. Because every day is a new day to decide. Every morning calls us to a potentially pivotal decision. Choose this day whom you will follow, knowing that there is a right way and a wrong way. Make that big decision and then demonstrate that decision through a life of being faithful in all of the little choices. We are free to go away, but we are not free from the consequences of that choice. Jesus, the Holy One of God, has the words of eternal life. So let us follow him.